I want to talk to you this morning about total trust. Total trust. I'm going to put a picture of a man on the screen. This is Dr. Stephen Alford. He went home to be with Jesus in 2004, but he was born in Zambia, Africa, to missionary parents and grew up there. He went away to be educated, and he was going to become an engineer and return back to Africa and live leisurely, and serving the Lord was more of an afterthought than a focus of his life at that time. But he became seriously ill as a young man before he could step into those plans for his future. As a matter of fact, the doctors told him, you have only about 2 weeks to live. And so he lay dying. And his father, who was still in Africa, unaware that his son was sick, wrote him a letter. And in that letter, his father simply said, 'Tis one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. That was part of his letter to encourage his son. But Stephen Alford testified that when he read those lines, he knew what the Lord was requiring of him. And so he uttered a prayer, and this is what he prayed. He prayed, anywhere, anytime, any cost. And at that moment, he fully surrendered and committed his life to Jesus Christ in total trust. Now, you may never heard of Stephen Alford, but he went on to influence many, many lives. As a matter of fact, my doctoral program that I entered into and completed was put together by him because he was a master at expository preaching, and I wanted to study under him. I came to know him when I was at school in Memphis and attending Bellevue Baptist Church. Adrian Rogers testified that Dr. Stephen Alford was a major influence in his life. Dr. Charles Stanley testified that Stephen Alford was a major influence in his life. And Billy Graham said, the man who most influenced my life and ministry was Dr. Stephen Alford. A young man with dreams of Easy Street who laid it all down to follow Christ. And I'm convicted when I study his life. And I read the story in one of Billy Graham's books of how he met. They were like a conference somewhere, and he went into the room with Stephen Alford, and they got down on their knees, and he said, that's when I was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. This was a mighty man of God. But you have a destiny on your life. But you are a world changer as well. You and I, there's no exceptions in the kingdom. Anyone who kneels before Jesus as Lord and comes to that place of anywhere, anytime, any cost, and totally surrenders, that person is going to be used by God. Now, the scripture to me that really calls us to this type of life is one of my favorite passages in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It will be help to your flesh and strength to your bones. Powerful scripture. I want to, just in a few brief moments this morning, I want to call your attention to three truths that we should treasure out of this scripture, because it calls us to this place of total trust. Between you and the fulfillment of what God has for your life is a moment when you surrender and you yield and you decide, I'm going to totally trust Him with everything. The first thing I want to say is, you need to settle in your heart and mind that God really can be trusted with your whole life. That's the truth. God really can be trusted with your whole life. There's no area of your life that God can't help you with. There's no area of our lives that should be lived without regard to Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Now, the level of trust that we may have with different people varies. I could ask you this morning, what's your level of trust of the news reports that you hear when you flip the cable network channels? What's the level of trust? Are you going to build your life on those reports? Are you going to let those reports determine how you make your decisions? I think probably the trust level's not very high. What about your political leaders? What's your level of trust? Now, we should have you want to be in a nation where you have a high level of trust. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But, you know, the level of trust may not be very high. We're all the time hearing polls, you know. What's the level of trust that you have for your own parents? What's the level of trust you have for your best friend, for your spouse? Those are important questions, but the most important question is, 1 to 10, what's your level of trust in the Lord? Is your life in His hands? Is it all there? Have you yielded it all to Him? We make decisions, and our decisions reflect where our trust lies. I remember years ago on a cold January morning, I had gone to deer hunt down in Marion County. And it was a large property, and there was a creek I needed to get across. It would save me 30 minutes walking if I could just get across that creek, and it was only about 10 or 12 foot wide. But it was high, and the water was raging because we'd gotten a lot of rain, and it was cold. It was like, freezing weather. And I found a place where a tree had fallen across that creek. And on my side, it was pretty good size. And then it got narrow as it went across. And I thought about walking 30 minutes. Then I thought about, if I can just skimmy like a squirrel across that fallen tree, I'll save myself a lot of time and I can get to my business, get that big buck. So I took my 7mm rifle off and I got it. I held it like this and there was a few limbs sticking up. And I took the first step and the second step and I was doing pretty good. And I took about the fourth step, that tree started going under. And I tried to go back and then I started losing my balance and I thought, well, I'm going to try to bound across. So I took that step and tried to jump, but instead of that tree supporting me so I could make it to the bank, it went under, I went under, and as I started down, I threw my rifle. And that's probably not a smart thing to do, but I didn't have time to ponder. So I threw it, and it landed safely, and I went down. And the water was so fierce, it swept me under that tree, and I was hanging on. And the Lord spared me, really. I mean, it was a foolish, stupid thing to do. But I finally pulled my way over and was able to pull myself out on the bank. I had to come out of everything and wring my clothes out and put them back on and go back to hunting. I put my trust in something that wouldn't support me. And I want to tell you, in the days in which we're living, the only thing that's going to stand up is Christ the solid rock. He even tells us that in His teaching about building your house on the rock. If you trust God, that means He's the foundation of your life. And you're resting your life solidly upon Him. And I remember that Sunday evening in the spring of 1983, 39 summers ago, when I had come to a place in my life where something had to shift. something had to go. Something had to change because I was a young man, but I was a miserable man. And the reason was the hand of the Lord was heavy on my life. I wasn't trusting Him. I wasn't living for Him. He wasn't first. And I remember when I made my way to that altar and went down on my knees in that altar, I laid it down to Him. And I basically said what Stephen Ophir did. I said, Lord, I'll go wherever You want me to go. I'll do whatever You're calling me to do. I'm not going to live the way I've lived. I'm giving it all to You. And in that moment, when I stood up, I knew I had been called to preach the gospel. I can't really articulate that or fully explain that, but I knew that I knew it. And across those 39 years, there's times I've misstepped like on that log, but I want to tell you, the Spirit of God has always reached and grabbed me and brought me back to that place of surrender. No, this is what I've called you to do. This is what You said You would do. This is what You've given Your life to. And He will be faithful to you. The place of total trust is the safest place we can live. The place of total trust is the place where God will meet with you and where nothing will hinder you. Does it mean you won't have trials, tribulations, troubles, and battles to fight? But it means you're not alone. His grace will be given you. His strength will be given you. And it's so important for us to understand that this morning. It's the idea of holding nothing back. Second thing I want to share with you is you need to settle in your heart and mind that God really will direct your path. It's just the truth. God really will direct your path. The Scripture says that, trust in Him with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And what will He do? He shall direct your paths. We like to lean to our own understanding, right? We like to figure it out. We tend to do that. But notice again, we see the all word. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. But now, also, in all your ways, you see, that internal surrender, that laying it down, well, how does that manifest? In the way that we live, in the way that we make our decisions, in the way that we treat other people, in the way we respond to God's Word, in the way that we follow the Holy Spirit's leadership. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Now, if we wanted to flip that around, it's like He's saying, in everything you do, don't ignore Me. Acknowledge Me. Have you ever had someone who just purposely ignored you and wanted you to know they were ignoring you? I remember in high school, there was this little girl that I kind of liked her and thought she kind of liked me. It was more from a distance. And one day we were talking and I was razzing and I jokingly said something to her and it set her off. She didn't like it. So she went her way. And the next period or two in the class, here I go down the hall and there she comes. And I see her coming. And she sees me coming. When she got fairly close to me, she turned like this, chin up, nose in the air. And she went on by. She wanted me to know she was ignoring me. And she went on her way. And then I acknowledged the Lord. And I went on the way and I met this little lady in college. See, that worked out good. But it's the idea of ignoring God, not acknowledging Him, not giving. Someone said that, you know, there's a practical atheism that people can live. It's that they believe in God, but they live as if God did not exist. Don't acknowledge Him. They ignore Him, neglect Him. He's not part of their decision making. He's not part of helping. It's not part of them. They're seeking guidance for their life. And it's so important that we understand that. ever thought about what that looks like to acknowledge Him in all His ways? I mean, what's that look like in real life? It means when we're making our decisions, we park it and consult Him. What does your word say about this, Lord? See, that's one way we acknowledge Him, by reading and obeying His word. What's your spirit saying about this? The spirit and the word will always agree, and you'll have an inner prompting of peace when something's right. We teach it sometimes red light, green light, caution light. It's kind of like that. When God's peace is present, that's His two thumbs up. When you don't have peace about something, that's His two thumbs down. And so we learn to acknowledge Him in our daily life, how we treat our spouse, how we respond to our children, how we do our work on the job, and so forth. Acknowledge Him in all our ways. And I recall a number of times when maybe you're deciding on making a purchase, and I would say, oh, wow, that's a really good deal, and you buy it. And then before you get home with it, you think, well, that was a good deal, but I really didn't need it. Don't even know if I can use it, but it was such a good deal. That's impulsive purchasing. I remember when Mickey and I lived in Mississippi and we were needing a new vehicle, and there was a car place, and I'd gone down there, and there was an older model car, but it looked really nice, and the price on it was great. And I looked that thing over, I asked some questions about it, and I went back home, and we decided we'd pray about it. And I thought, well, when I was praying, it was like, you need to go back and take more time and really check it out. And I went down there, and when I got out of the car, when I went back, the sun was hitting that car a little differently than, because it was earlier in the day, but the sun was up and it was hitting that car. And I looked at that car down the side of that car, and it looked like the surface of a golf ball. I mean, it had dimples all over it. Then I looked at the top, and it had been in a hailstorm. That had never been mentioned. I didn't see it on my first gander, but because I felt that I was to take a longer second look, then I realized, no, that it's probably good mechanically, but I don't want it. It looks like it's been in a golf ball war, Acknowledging, make room for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And you'll hear Him more clearly when you've already have that total commitment in your heart. Whatever you say, I'll do it. If we live with Lord, let me know what you think about this, and then I'll think about what you think about it and decide what I think about it. That's not the way it works. It's like, Lord, I want to know what you say about this, and what you say about it, that's the way I'm going, because you know more than I do. I'm not leaning to my understanding. I'm acknowledging you. And it's important that we live the Christian life in this manner. And the last thing I want to share with you is you need to settle in your heart and mind that God really does bless those who obey Him. Look at these last two verses. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be. Say, it will be. That's what the Lord's saying to you. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Notice the relationship here between not living by your own pride, but living humbly before the Lord with a fear in your heart, a fear of the Lord in your life. Notice the relationship between that and even our physical health. And then it goes on to say, if you'll honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your increase, your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Powerful scriptures in Proverbs 3. But God really does bless those who obey Him. I heard the story of a little girl named Susie. She came home from school whining and she said, Mommy, I've got a stomach ache. And her mother said, well, honey, it's aching because your stomach's empty. You'll feel better if you put something in it. So she fed her a snack, and immediately she started feeling better. Well, later that day, little Susie's daddy comes home from work, and he said, "Oh, I've got a terrible headache." Little Susie said, "Daddy, your head's aching because it's empty, and you would feel better if it had something in it." Well, we may not be like Susie's dad, you know, empty-headed. Most of the time, our problem is we're big-headed. And that's what this says. Do not be wise in your own eyes. We can be big-headed. We got this. I mean, really don't need God. Don't, let's save your sweat, Lord. I got this. That's our own pride. Don't be wise. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Well, yes, I know the Bible says I probably shouldn't step, but we're living in modern times, and that's really not a big deal now. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Why? It'll be health to your flesh, your body, strength to your bones. God really does bless those who obey Him. Now, our worship team is coming this morning. And I want to ask you again, what's your trust level? Have you settled in your heart and mind that God really can be trusted with your whole life? Have you settled in your heart and mind that God really will direct your paths? Have you settled in your heart and mind that God really does bless those who obey Him? As you examine your heart, where are you this morning? Can you say with the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, can you say, "I'm trusting Him. I'm trusting Him." Is there an area of your life where your pride is getting in the way of your blessing? Is there an area of your life where the direction's not clear because you haven't surrendered? Could it be that because you've been hurt, or you've been mistreated, or you've been disappointed, or you've been let down, or you've made wrong decisions, or you've messed up, could all of that cause a distrust in your heart? Well, I can't really commit to the Lord because I know I can't. I don't think I can. I'm not sure I can live it. You better be sure you can't live it. That's the reason you've got to trust Him. You need Him. I can do all things through Christ, but without Him, I can do nothing. Think clearly. Yes, you've got to trust Him. Or, I'm just afraid to fully trust again. I've been hurt and I feel like God's let me down. Well, let me tell you, He hasn't. And if you feel like He has, repent of that. Be honest with Him. Humble yourself. Receive His grace. Get over it. Rise up and totally trust Him. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask some of our staff leaders to come and be in this altar right now. Just come on up. Be available to pray. I just believe right now is a lay it down moment for some people. Lay it down. Let go. I'm not going to hold back, Lord, today. By Your grace, I'm moving forward. You can have it all, Lord. You can have it all. Could we bow our heads just a moment? Could you even pray that prayer right now, honestly, sincerely, Lord? You can have it all. I lay it down. I'm wanting to trust You with all my heart, as much as I know how, Lord. Forgive me for where I've mistrusted. Forgive me for where I've failed. But as Stephen Ofer did, Lord, I'm saying anywhere, anytime, any cost, I surrender all to you, Lord. You can do that right where you are right now. You may need to do it in this altar. You may need to come and just share with these. I'm making that decision right now. Pray with me, please. Or if you have other needs, now's the time to come. Just step out from where you are. Make your way forward. We're going to begin to worship. Holy Spirit, have your way right now as we respond to your word, Father. Have your way.